Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now it's early morning and I'm back in a place that I know well. It's my home city of Kilkenny. And there's a business here that I've been wanting to visit for some time because I knew it as a child growing up. It's on the banks of the River Nore. It used to be an old woolen mills, but it's now Kilkenny Architectural Salvage and Antiques Limited. And it really is an Aladdin's cave and just a wonderful place. And I'm delighted to be here with one of the directors of the business, Mr. Harry Maharaj, who joins me now. Harry, how are you?
Very good, Bobby. Thanks for coming in to us.
Now, I have very fond memories of this wonderful place growing up on the banks of the Nore, as I said. What, there's 6 or 7 acres here, warehousing of 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. An old disused woolen mills in my time, but your father, Robin, in 1998, created something rather special here.
Yeah, so Dad, as you said, we're very lucky. We're at the old woolen mills, which has a long history itself here from Lady Desert back in the early 1900s. And my granddad, who was also Harry, he was an orthopaedic surgeon here in Kilkenny. He bought the site back in the 60s, which, as you said, we'll go back to your time where there's family links there and you coming down here a long time ago. But my dad, Robin, set up the business in 1998, and that was following. He had lived in the UK for about 20 years and, you know, he was working in the insurance industry, but he had done up a couple of properties over there, including our old family home. And that's kind of where he got the bug for all things salvage. And when they were making the move back home to Kilkenny, he was looking at different ideas. And then obviously the site was here and he started venturing into that world of salvage and architectural salvage. And 26 years later, actually last month, we're still here. We're going strong.
Like, this is literally an Aladdin's cave. There's antiques, there's railway sleepers, there's vintage furniture, there's light fittings that seem to go. So there's anything and everything here. So, Harry, my first question is to you, what do you decide to stock? How do you pick out maybe what sells, how long you keep it for, all that kind of stuff? So how do you decide what to stock firstly?
Yeah, well, that's the fun part of being in a salvage yard. It's anything and everything. And that's our job, that when people walk in, you know, they get that wow factor of, oh my God, I did not expect to see that, or I did not expect to see that. And because we're very lucky with the site here, we have that flexibility that we have space and we're very happy to buy items and own them for a long time. So I think a lot of people who maybe don't know what a salvage yard is or an architectural salvage yard is, they think it might be a scrap yard where it's a couple of old lads kicking steel around the place, which is far from. There's definitely steel here to kick around if you want as well. But like, we're buying garden furniture, pub memorabilia. We're going into 5-star hotels and doing clearances, as well as the general public who are selling bits and pieces. And that's what gives us such an eclectic mix. Yeah. You know, we've had everything from a confession box all the way to a brick, you know, and that's as vast as it gets. And that's our job, to just keep looking at things. We rarely turn deals down. Obviously, once it makes sense from a financial standpoint for us, we're very happy to have anything coming into the yard, because that's what just separates us from anybody else, from, you know, a shop on the high street or a big box shop like that. So that's what keeps us different.
Interesting, as you said earlier, the business is now 26 years old. Started by Robin in 1998, but now Paul, Harry, yourself, Harry, and Connor, your other brother, are all working in the business. So this is now truly a family business. How did everybody gravitate back here, or what was the draw?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny one. Like, we're give or take about 5 years now, all three of us have come home and we were all doing different things. I was in the financial service industry as a stockbroker. Connor was in the insurance industry and Paul was in the travel industry. And, you know, we'd all grown up with the business, like yourself. Anyone who has parents who run their own business, you kind of live and breathe it. It's what you talk about at the dinner table when mom and dad come home from work. But Dad had been very good over the years. He'd never pushed us that we needed to be here. He always was very much, look, go to college if that's what you want to do, go out into the big bad world, figure things out. There's an opportunity here if, touch wood, we're still in business and you want to come and join. And literally about 5 years ago, myself, Paul and Connor completely independently all ended up making that decision within the space of about 12 months that we were going to leave Dublin, come back home. And and the aim as well was to try and bring the world of salvage to the next generation. So we've very much done that through social media. You know, we didn't have anything like that. We had a barely functioning website. The salvage yards are places that, you know, traditionally people come down, walk around, and that's still the case, and it's the best way to do it. But what we've tried to do is bring that online. Yeah. And, you know, we have over 100,000 followers now across our social media platforms. And, you know, we can put up items now and literally within minutes they'll sell, and they could be going up to North Donegal. You know, and that's very powerful for a business to be able to do.
And this is the business, Eurosalve, that you've developed in tandem, I suppose, with Robin's old business. And I would suggest that maybe he's not really a social media guru, that he's good at other things.
Yeah, no, he's not. No, he's definitely, when people come in and start talking anything online, he kind of just points them in our direction. But Dad's skill set is very much the buying. You know, he has 26 years of buying experience now. And that all started by just learning as he was going to auctions, starting to pick up things. But now, you know, we have so many people contacting us every single day now. We're not kind of reliant on those sources anymore. It literally is coming to us, which is amazing. And Dad's skill set is the buying, but that's also what the three of us have had to learn, because, you know, I worked in a sales role for 10 years. You know, you can learn that skill set and get practice, but it takes a really good eye and experience, and it takes time to know if you're standing in front of a piece of furniture, what's that worth, what should I be buying it at so that I can still sell it at a good price, yeah, run my business, but also give the person who's selling it a fair price as well, because they have some, sure, sort of idea, especially in the world of watching, yeah, TV and Antiques Roadshows, and people having ideas of value.
Cash in the attic and all, yeah, that, yeah, good stuff. Leave something for the next guy. Right beside us here looks to be something that might have come out of a church. Explain this actually wonderful piece to us.
Yeah, so this is an original 19th century sacristy cabinet. It came out of an old convent up in Dublin. And it's an absolutely huge piece. And you know, the funny thing about some of these pieces is, you know, it may end up going back into somebody, another religious order, but more than likely I'd say it'll end up in maybe a shop as a display piece, because this has all the original drawers in it as well. So, you know, it might be lovely for somebody who maybe sells prints or something like that, because, yeah, they can pull out all those narrow drawers that would have originally
had
all
the big piece of furniture.
Oh yeah, it's a huge piece. Like, you're kind of 8-9 feet wide, and absolutely beautiful piece. And, you know, we were trying to date it and everything, and our woodworker guys were looking at it and kind of going off of the nails and everything that are in it. They're kind of thinking it's kind of that, you know, that mid-19th century piece.
Wow. And for sale at a steal at €4,250.
It is. And, like, you know, if you were to walk into anywhere and try and get something like that made, even in modern materials, you wouldn't even get close to that price. And we're in that business. Like, look, it's a big piece, so it takes up quite a bit of space here. We price things to move them on. Yeah. And that's what a salvage yard's job is. It's to get a huge amount of stock in all the time, but move it. And that's because we have so many jobs coming up. And like every business, space is limited. Yeah. So, but it's a fantastic piece.
So if I was a buyer then, and I come in and I look at a big piece that might have been here for a while, you're obviously going to negotiate on that.
Oh, yeah. Like, look, you're in a salvage yard. That's the game. And look, we enjoy that as well. And you know, we even have fun with that when sometimes even some younger kids are coming in and they might be picking up a small little sign, and, you know, it could be marked €12, and they innocently obviously go to hand you the €12, and we kind of go, no, look, you're in a salvage yard. Let's have a bit of fun with this now, and kind of giving them that first lesson of haggling. But no, look, we're in the business of selling things, and that's what we're trying to do. And we want to find good homes for, you know, these pieces. And that's a big thing of what we do. Like, not that item, because it's obviously a very specific piece, but there's other pieces of furniture that potentially end up going into skips, yeah, you know, because builders maybe are on site, they're on a clock, and they're in a rush, yeah, and they just need to get stuff out of, yeah, maybe an old building. And it's trying to educate the market that, yeah, there is businesses like us, there's obviously other people who do what we do. Contact them, because, yeah, there is stuff out there, and you'll get a few bob for it as, yeah, well, and you have to pay for a skip to get rid of your
item. The waste that you see around, you know, people clearing out houses and stuff going into skip that just gets broken up, it's criminal.
It is. Yeah. And like, I was just up in Dublin myself yesterday, and, you know, the amount of renovation that's happening there, in particular around certain areas of Dublin as well, you know, when you're going around Leeson Street or Merrion Square, all these old buildings, and sometimes stuff has just been pulled out, ripped out and dumped. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, I know people are on a clock, but at the end of the day, there's an opportunity to save those items, and those items might live another 20, 30, 100 years, yeah, yeah, and pass hands maybe, yeah, between two or three different houses.
And for all the talk about business business has been sustainable, that's obviously a very practical, cost-effective way of doing the right thing.
Oh, 100%. And like, it's interesting as well, like any piece that comes into a salvage yard and sells on, like from anybody who's from a sustainability standpoint, you know, there's it's a completely neutral piece because it's used up its carbon footprint when it was originally used. So, you know, the world of upcycling, the world of sustainability and the circular economy is definitely in vogue. And I think that the next generation of first-time home buyers now are really thinking, one, can I do it sustainably? But two, can I get a feature piece or something different for my house that I'm not like every house in the estate, we all look the exact same.
What have we got here?
Yeah, so over here, Bobby, we do a lot of timber. It's kind of a given for any salvage yard to do that. And what we have, we always will have a good mix of kind of oak and oak live edge, but we have these beautiful pitch pine beams in stock at the moment. So these are 300, 400-year-old pieces of timber.
Stop.
Yeah, we imported them in from the UK. They were in an old industrial premises in Birmingham. These would have originally originated out in the US, probably going back into, well, 300, 400, 500 years ago.
Stop.
When they would have been...
Wow.
When they'd have come across and they'd have formed their new life in the UK. And then basically what we're doing with these is we are cutting them all down, cleaning them, and what you can do is mantels, shelving, countertops. We get a lot of people who would be doing kind of, you know, your trusses in your kitchen to kind of give you that rustic finish.
So it's a kind of a like distressed look, but it's the real thing.
But it's the real thing. Yeah. And the beauty of it is like, that's a piece of timber that's like, nobody's going to have something like that in their house.
Amazing.
You know? And it's not just kind of going into big hotels or pubs or restaurants. As we said, we're selling them as mantles. And
finally, Harry, can I ask you, what's next for the business? You've brought it online. You're driving it with social media. You're getting yourself out there. Where are yourself and your brothers going to bring the business next?
Well, the aim is just to really keep growing it, obviously, but like we can take a very long-term view on it, and that's just to be the place that people want to come to. And we're kind of getting there already, like especially on a Saturday, we have people coming from the whole country. Like, you'll speak to someone and they say, oh no, we've been in the car 3 hours to get down to Kilkenny to come and have a look.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really humbling as well, that someone is willing to give 3 hours one way, 3 hours the other way, just to maybe walk around our business for an hour. So our aim is just to keep growing it, keep bringing in great items. If we keep bringing in really good items and price them at a good price, people will come. And then keep having fun and taking chances as well. We do some fun things on social media that nobody else is doing. You know, I do these live tours on Instagram and TikTok where I walk around the yard, and like, we've done them and we have 20,000 people on the live. Like, that's it's a stadium full of people. So it's taking chances on things, and obviously as a family business, trying not to kill each other as well as we go along.
But very important. Well, listen, thanks for bringing me down memory lane. I haven't been here for many years. It's so wonderful to see the family doing so well, the business doing so well, and every success to you in regards to them all.
No, thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.